I need to borrow a cow. I promise I will return it.
It's new.
As soon as the fair's over, but I need a cow to get into the fair this year.
Oh, I know.
Huh?
Andy Beshear has new rules.
Let's bring in everybody. Dave Jennings.
Yes, yes,
Tony
yes.
Bonetti, Dwight Witten. We got, of course, Sasquatch, 6'8".
And a half.
And we bring in also Mr. Scott Fitzgerald. Hello, Scotty.
Gentlemen, it is always a pleasure to sit in with you guys. What is up?
It's the newest member I've discovered that blocked my wife on Twitter, Scott Fitzpatrick Fitzgerald.
That's fantastic.
Willie told me you guys were talking about it on Monday. Yeah, it was like one of the first people I ever blocked when I first got on Twitter.
My wife said, look, here's the thing. The WHAS staff has been blocking my wife consistently. Okay? And so every time, I'm not a Twitter guy. She goes, do you know why Tony blocked me? I'm like, what's blocked you? I think Tony was the first one. Then Demling, then on and on. Well, recently she said, why would Scott Fitzgerald block me? I said, what? And she goes, he blocked me on Twitter. And then she goes, oh, he probably just hit the wrong button. I went, yeah, that's probably
it. Yeah, that's it.
I will unblock her. She literally was one of the first people I blocked when I got on Twitter.
Does she block you, Dwight?
The question is, why haven't you blocked her, Dwight? What are you talking about?
But we block because we love, all right?
Yes.
Is that a fact?
Oh, yeah, it's okay. Like, look, I want to stay friends, so I'm blocking you.
Right? No, Susan just got a little carried away from me at some point, and I was like, okay.
No.
What?
What?
I respect her fandom. I do. However,
listen, my wife can get a little bit aggressive.
Yes.
What?
She's a wee bit passionate, and she's a wee bit competitive.
You think?
But going back to Tony's story,
But somehow she settled on you. So
I know.
I don't know how that happened.
She must be an idiot. You look at her. Okay, I mean, but seriously. She must be, I don't know how dumb she is, because look at her.
She's in the other room.
She's on a conference call with work. Okay. So, but think about this, though. Look at her. Mm-hmm. She's drop dead balls hot.
Look at her. Look at you.
And look at me.
Look at me now.
Now, Porter Cottrell and them, they got me in shape, so I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm not by any stretch of imagination good looking. But
you're as good as you can get.
Right.
Okay, yes, there you go. There good. You thank go. You, Dave.
Yep.
When she married me, learn that from Tony. When she married me, I was 70 pounds heavier. And I chewed tobacco and smoked at the same time.
Yes.
Wow.
Why would you want to kiss somebody that chews tobacco? Listen, her self-esteem must be rock bottom.
Oh.
You know?
It's that or a charity case, either way.
Yeah, maybe she's just trying to,
All right, we bring in our boy Scott Fitzgerald because David is what day? What day is today?
Today is International Beer Day, where people around the planet unite around the suds.
Yes.
Wow.
I might have to try a beer tonight then.
You should.
What?
I think I will.
You should. I know you're not much of a beer drinker, Dwight. So.
No, but I've seen it on the Facebook a lot.
Right?
I got to tell you, that amber color.
The Facebook.
It does look quite delicious, guys.
All right, so let's go around. There's plenty of us here. We'll start with Sasquatch. If you're going to order a beer at the bar, what do you order?
I'm not a drinker, so I'm getting a Coke.
Okay, you get a Coke. Same, I'm in the same boat a little bit. So, Dwight, where are you getting?
I'm going to go up, and I'm going to say, do you have any IPAs? And they say, yeah. And I'm going to say, can I get a raspberry wheat pumpernickel ale? I hate that guy.
No, you're not.
I hate that
no,
guy.
No, I know that guy. I know that guy, Dwight. No, Dwight and I are in the same boat. I agree.
Oh, my Lord.
I
with
agree.
The pumpernickel wheat peppermint pumpkin spice beer. No, I go up, and I say, hey, can I get a Coors Light, please? Mm-hmm. They say, yes. And I say, do you have that in draft? And they say, yes, we do have Coors Light and draft. And I say, make it a tall one.
Make it a tall one.
So exotic.
All right, Fitzgerald, pull the trigger on the bartender. What do you have?
Well, dude, it depends on where I'm at. If I'm here locally, I'm always looking for Against the Grain, my favorite local brewery here. And I'm doing the Citra Ass Down. And if they have that, I'm like Dwight, I want it on draft. I can't stand all the lemon, foo-foo, snoffy-snoff, whatever. I like good beer, but I'm going for either Against the Grain, or if I see a Mile Wide up there, I'm catching that as well.
All right. Dave Jennings.
Yep. It's an old beer, but it's been reimagined as a craft brewery. I like the Falls City English-style pale ale.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's really, really good.
Staying local brewery, good.
But as far as at home, I have been on a heavy-duty Pabst Blue Ribbon kick.
Have you?
Wow. Oh, my gosh. For the past month, I've been Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're feeling American.
I am. But
you're feeling American.
No, I think it was a nostalgic thing, and I love it.
Just do
and a budget any, thing.
Are, right?
Right.
That's not bad, though.
Are no. any of the famous American beers still owned by American companies?
Budweiser's Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I forget the name now. I forget what it is. I don't think they are, to your point, Tony. I don't keep much up on the U.S. domestic.
What about Miller Coors?
No, I think because my buddy was just in Milwaukee, too. He was telling me about it. They built a whole new Pabst tasting room, and he was telling me what it was. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I don't know, to be honest with you.
Don't say anything bad. That'll be a Pabst smear.
Oh, no.
Well, hey, Dave, you're going to need to put $5 into the jar. What company owns Miller Coors?
We'll find out. We'll find out.
Okay. All right. Can we agree on this?
The Belgians own Anheuser-Busch. I don't know
right.
who owns.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we at least agree on this? The best beer there is at a sporting event in that wax paper cup.
Yeah. I'll agree.
Is it now all of you are connoisseurs of this. It is my understanding that stadium beer is closer to like 30% or 40% water.
Yeah.
To keep everybody from having like European soccer riots.
Yep. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a smaller beer. And I notice it when I drink it. I can tell it's lower because I sometimes if I've had a domestic at home and then I try to drink it at the ballpark, I can tell there's a difference.
Well, I've got an answer on Miller Coors.
Okay.
It's headquartered at 250S Wacker Drive in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, Chi-Town.
All right. Wacker Drive.
I just wanted to say Wacker.
That's yeah. right.
I did want to say Wacker.
But I'm the guy, when I go to Slugger Field, I'll wait, and they have that tiny little window that sells the craft beer. And I'll wait there. Like, I'll get up and miss a whole two innings so I can wait for, like, a West 6.
There's seven yeah. more.
Yeah, right, right.
I don't know what the track used to do to their beers. Remember when the track used to be just for kind of locals? It was $2 yeah. to get in. It mm-hmm. was a lot of fun before they made it into the cathedral that it is today.
Yep.
There was cheap beer, big, huge beers. It was like 16-ounce or 20-ounce big, giant cups of beer. And the effects of alcohol didn't hit you till you got to the parking lot.
That's what I'm saying.
You
can tell. I will tell you this. When we went up to Nationwide Arena, my son who plays hockey for X, they played up on the ice there. And we went to – I was going to – you know, I looked, domestics were supposed to be cheaper. They were still – domestics were $9.
Whoa.
They were $9. That's in an NHL game. So I said, I'll throw up the extra $4 to get the BrewDog. I mean, you might as well. Domestics aren't as cheap as what they used to be, at least at sporting events.
I remember the first time that I combined a beer with food. Like, when I was younger, I used to just drink beer to get drunk. I mean, that was the whole point. It was like,
right.
You were still nursing then, weren't you?
It was like that. And then I saw somebody was like, hey, you want a slice of pizza? And I was like, what do you mean? I'm drinking a beer. And they're like, yeah, beer yeah. and yeah. pizza. And I yeah. went, okay, well, I'll try that. And I almost started to tear up
yeah.
when I took a bite of an everything pizza. And I remember, like, I'm visualizing it today. It was such an impact on my life. It was a Little Caesars everything pizza. And he handed it to me, and I took a bite and then took a drink of my beer, and I started to tear up a little bit. And he goes, are you okay?
And then you missed your sixth grade graduation, which was kind of sad.
We are really celebrating International Beer Day. Okay, then let me tell a story. By the way, Coors Banquet beer, it pairs perfectly with Count Chocula.
Oh, yeah.
But
put it in it.
Going back to my first beer, who remembers their first beer?
I do.
I remember my first beer.
Little Kings.
I was putting a roof on a house with a guy named Richard Spivey was yes. his name. We called him SP.
Dick Spivey.
And when we got done, he opened up a cooler, and he gave me one of those little ponies, the High Life ponies.
Yep. Yeah.
Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
we were hot and sweaty, and he opens up this cooler.
Yes.
And he gives me one of these little ponies, High Lifes. And it was about, I don't know if it was so hot or what, but it was the best thing I ever tasted. Oh, my
yes.
gosh.
Yes.
Yep. Little Pony from life. Dick.
My first beer, I won't forget, I was at the Central Michigan, Western Michigan game, and it was Busch. It wasn't Busch Light. It was Busch.
Speaking I like that
Busch,
beer.
Why did you block my wife, man? Oh, we already covered that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I remember tasting, and one guy goes, here, shotgun this. And I go, Okay, fine. He did the poke the hole in the side of the can.
Yeah.
I almost threw up. I could not stand
your
the taste
of beer. Your first beer was a shotgun?
Wow. Yeah. And I could not stand the taste of beer for about 3 or 4 years after that.
You should go to a soccer party.
Oh, gosh. Sasquatch, when was your first beer, Junior?
Let's see.
Apparently, it was not an impact.
Cue the Jeopardy music.
I know. Right. I know.
It was the day I turned 21, and
he's trying to be a responsible journalist.
I just get away with anything. My dad was a state cop. If I came home and it even looked like I'd been within 5 miles of beer, I was going to get throttled.
And now I can't get enough of it. Where we were sitting around, my daughter asked what we wanted for dinner. So she knows I like pizza. She ordered Birnos for me. And we got the Mama Birnos, which I can only have about one slice of.
Oh,
and I'm
so
packed
good,
full,
so
right?
Good,
and
so
I found
good.
Out that against the grain, Citra ass down, goes so well with pizza.
Oh man,
it goes so well.
What doesn't go well with
right,
pizza?
Right.
No, that's
exactly.
True.
Red wine, check.
Yeah.
Beer, check. Bourbon, yep. Check. Ice cream,
yep.
Check.
Yep.
I'm with you.
Yep.
Yeah. No,
everything,
I'm with you.
Everything goes good
That's
with pizza.
It. All right, Eddie, are you a car show guy? Fitzgerald, are you going out to the...
No, not so much. I like cars. I like cars in the fact that I love NASCAR and Formula One, that in that respect, but not going out looking at the old cars. That was just before my time.
Okay, let's touch on this, but we got you, Scott, because, of course, you're into sports. AG, we're talking Rondale Moore. Has decided to skip his junior year and go ahead and get ready for the NFL draft. It was welcomed with some very positive notes on first day, at least, from the internet, including his coach, Jeff Brohm, former Trinity and Louisville football player and coach. So he's decided to skip. Your thoughts on Rondale Moore saying, you know what, I'm not into this year.
Yeah, you know what, it's interesting. Tony and I were discussing this earlier this morning. I wonder if that's going to be a trend with some players. That if you are really good, and we're talking like the Maurice Clarets, who were just, before he went crazy, were just built for the National Football League. If some of these players don't go, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and get ready for the NFL draft, and I'm going to skip that final year in college because it's really not going to do me any good, and go that route. It'll be not everybody's going to do it. It's the upper echelon, but you're seeing that trend in all of sports across the board that it's got sort of this youth movement now. It used to be like in hockey, and Dwight, you know this, you'd come out of wherever you're coming out of. You play years in the minor leagues, work your way up, and now kids are almost coming straight out of high school getting ready for the NHL.
Yeah, I remember the first time that happened. A buddy of mine, Joe Tedderinko, actually got he was playing with the Carolina Panthers. And we were going to the home opener for Carolina, and I was staying with him and the team. And we got on the elevator as we were riding down, and stopped on a floor. This kid gets in with his parents, and they say, "Where's your jacket?" And the kid goes, "I'm not wearing one." "Go get your jacket. You're gonna catch pneumonia." And they like the mom and dad rush him out to the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Joey looked at me and he goes, "That's our new starting center." And I started laughing, thinking he was making a joke.
Yeah.
He wasn't making a joke. It was Eric Stahl. He was going to be the starting center.
No way.
And he was like 18, 19.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy.
Mom.
Right.
It's great. So I think you're going to see – it's going to be interesting to watch the players that play at that level.
This year with COVID, Dave, you've got to think that this is probably maybe going to be a trend in the next couple of weeks.
Well, it's been happening on a smaller level around bowl time where the guys that are going to be first or second round picks. Like, I am not – getting hurt in the pool and weed eater bowl and messing up my pro career. So now they're just doing it sooner.
Yeah,
isn't it? Now, because let's think about it. Isn't it a risk-reward type thing? I mean, if you're going to play football of all sports, football or hockey, your chances of getting injured, they go up exponentially as opposed to, like, basketball or baseball, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, why wouldn't you? If you got a chance to get a lottery ticket and become a millionaire, I can't fault them.
Sasquatch, your thoughts on Rondale Moore skipping his last year in this COVID 2020-2021 year?
I mean, on paper, it makes sense. Purdue fans are going to be losing their minds for selfish reasons, but most of the ones I saw on social media get why he's doing it. He graduates. He'll get his degree in December, so he's going to – he's going to have the paper. He's going to go and he's made the resume there at Purdue. Granted, last year was pretty injury ridden for him, unfortunately, but that first year was, it seems like it was hopefully enough of a resume builder for him. And I think that he'll do well in the NFL with the right team. So I'm with that. I think that he is just the beginning of the trend. I think that also when the time comes, you're probably going to see a lot of basketball players will be in the same situation if the opt-out is on the table for them.
Yeah, I think COVID is pushing this for a lot of kids. And Rondale Moore, one of the best high school players I've ever seen actually play. What you just said is amazing. He graduated from Purdue in 2.5 years.
And that's a good degree.
Yes. How is that possible? Right. I love EKU, but seriously, come on.
I mean, I remember covering a Purdue basketball game with Gene Katie years ago. And he was talking about some kid, I don't even remember who it was had a better than average game. And he goes, well, I was pretty impressed with this week in practice, considering he took an engineering test this week. It had 5 questions, but each question takes 2 hours to answer.
Oh, yeah.
I would say, you know what?
Enough to make you pull your hair out.
If I'm in college and they hit me with that, I say, you know what? I'm fine working at Wendy's. Keep the degree.
It was the ambition that attracted Susan, wasn't it?
The funny part is you finding your way into a math class at Purdue. You missed the punchline.
Who ordered the pizza?
I got this funniest story.
In the bathroom.
I was on my way to astronaut class.
Right.
I thought that this was astronaut class, or wound up being math class.
I followed this hot girl's astronaut.
But you're Dwight. Your picture hangs in Dawes High School. You know what?
Correct.
When I did sports and when we were playing high school sports, I used to say Dwight Whitten's Dawes Dragons.
Oh,
and, yes.
Thank
and
you,
I had a listener call in and say, "Will you stop saying Dwight Whitten's Dawes Dragons?"
That was Susan.
That was Susan.
Well, Susan had a deep voice.
Well, yeah, she does. Hey, that's an imitation of my honeymoon. Yeah, baby, that's right.
Right
there. Hey, here's my wife.
Get murdered.
Look, hey, here's our first dance at our wedding. In my ear, sweet nothing. What?
I'm just picturing 16 candles. Did you guys get on the workout bike?
Actually, it was more like this. Sweet nothings. My wife learned how to whisper in a helicopter.
So Dwight, you're not a big college basketball guy, but are you kind of UK by proxy because you kind of have to?
Yeah, I love my wife. So,
Hi.
Susan,
Hi,
Tony Susan. Was just making fun of you. By proxy, I am a UK fan, but... Right. But I'm not a basketball fan at all. I can't watch a sport where you touch me, let's stop the game. What? Let me stop the game.
Oh,
well, he touched him on the wrist.
Stop it. It's a lot more physical than that.
Okay, you get up to this line, and go ahead and take your 2 free throws, sweetheart.
Thank you, Scott Fitzgerald.
Thank you, fellas. Have a good weekend.
Hey,
we'll talk to you later, Squatch.
Night.
All right, you know it's good news when the unemployment rate falls to 10.2, but it is actually good news because it's almost a full point.
Yeah, that's massive. Hi, yeah. It's Courtney.
Hello, Courtney. How are you doing, Courtney Dunham?
How are you?
Hi,
it's Courtney Dunham from Bloomberg.
Hi, it's Courtney. In.
At least I want to identify myself before I start talking, and just in case somebody, maybe one person in Louisville doesn't know who I am.
Right. We're all assuming. And look, right before we went on the air, Dwight said, shh, don't tell Courtney I'm using Rogaine to grow hair.
Hey, I'm starting Rogaine today. Look, I've got a full head of hair. I look like Michael Landon, but if you see me from the back, it looks like
nice
somebody
hair.
Stuck. Right. But except it looks like somebody stuck a piece of bologna right on the top of my head.
Skin yamaka.
So today's going to be day one of Rogaine, and we're going to see if it works.
You know, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
That's, you know, whatever you need to do to make it.
Whatever it takes, boy.
You should see, please, underneath the outfits that we ladies wear. I mean, I'm stuck in, like, sausage casing.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Hey, I've got my Spanx on right now.
Thank God for Spanx.
Oh, my goodness. Whatever it takes, I'm telling you, make it work.
False advertising.
There's all sorts of undergarments making it happen. Making it real. But also making it real. You were talking about the jobs report. So I'm gonna give you some good news, as we said. I mean, payrolls increased by 1.76 million. That beat estimates, you know. But of course, it was pretty much a crapshoot on what was going to happen because so many people didn't know. So many economists were saying, some were saying it was going to be 3 million up, others were saying it was going to be 1 million down. So who knew? But anyway, came in better than most of the average. The unemployment rate, as you said, fell to 10.2%, but we still have a long way back. In March and April, the economy lost 22 million jobs. You got to keep that in perspective. So, you know, it is still a long way. We're making some headway. I'm definitely positive about that. But what's really overshadowing the markets right now, and we are at the open with the Dow down 69 points, people are looking to Washington. And that stimulus, that's just not happening. So until we get the fiscal stimulus happening, then we're going to see, we're probably going to have some trouble. So anyway, the markets are open. Dow is down 83 points. Yesterday, the S&P 500 rose for a fifth straight day. So not looking like that today, unless something comes out of Washington. With the News Radio 840 WHAS Bloomberg Money Report, I'm Courtney Donahoe. Gotta make my mind up.
This is News Radio 840 WHAS.
We'll talk to David James here in a moment, so sit tight right here. Tony, Dave, and, of course, Dwight Whitten. Cockfighting is still big in the States.
Well, I tried that yesterday, and you ran out on me, and so you're not going to do the show anymore. Right. So I don't think evidently it's not too popular.
Apparently, it's a global connection with the folks in Kentucky, so it's not just us.
Again, when we make national or international news, is it ever going to be a Kentucky scientist astronaut cures cancer? Yeah. It's always got to be this Kentucky man's cockfighting ring or this Kentucky man.
They are not, and this isn't some, if you watch video that they have from these undercover cases that they have there, this isn't just some barbed wire little fencing in somebody's backyard. They're like official
like arenas.
Gosh. And it's big money. These are rich people that are betting on these cockfights. And I remember having a very prominent person that owns a huge business in this town. It's global. And in the middle of an interview, he started yelling that cockfighting should be legal. This was 15 years ago. And I thought for sure that they had eliminated it. I know that Matt Bevin was caught at one, correct?
Yep.
John Bull?
Yep.
John Bull caught him at one.
Yeah. He was hiding in the bushes and he saw him, yes.
Yeah. Which one, Matt Bevin or John Bull?
Yeah, really? Now, is it true in cockfighting that the biggest cocks win? Or is it the one that has the most skill?
No, it's not the size of the cock. It's the size of the fight that's in the cock.
That's exactly
just,
right.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely.
And I've seen some large cocks take a pounding still get up.
It's brutal.
And still get up.
That's right.
And win the match.
That's right. So, but I do not condone. I hate cockfighting.
No, absolutely.
No, it's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous. And anybody watches, they attach those
razor
blades to their feet and they go after each other. It's awful.
Cocks are supposed to wake you up in the morning, not fight.
Yes. No, right.
No, you're right.
That's exactly right. And if it's not waking you up in the morning, 425-0500.
Hightower Men's Clinic. So listen.
So we're 12.
We're waiting on David James, but he may or may not be calling now after this.
Well, after this conversation, yeah, I don't know if that's going
to
happen.
You know, I might not want to be attached to that. But now that we're talking about that, let's go ahead and talk about the Blue Ribbon Cox that always happens out at the Kentucky State Fair.
Yes, that's right.
We are going to have a Kentucky State Fair, but listen, it's going to be done a little bit differently. Freddie Farm Bureau will be required to wear a mask, and we will not have spectators. We're going to have corn dog people just standing out in the parking lot trying to sell their corn dogs to the tater tot factory and to the butts on a stick vendors.
Do you think they don't want to cancel it to look dumb?
What's dumber, canceling a Kentucky State Fair or having it open with nobody there? Listen. Okay, listen.
I don't understand.
We are still going to have rides, but no one will be able to ride the rides. Just listen. My goodness. Everyone knows that the Himalaya is ran by scream power. And if you want it to go faster, you have to scream. Could you imagine how it could spread the virus?
Now, we're still going to charge the same amount for the lemonade stand, but no one's going to be there to buy it.
Right.
I thought it was hallucinating yesterday when I was watching. I woke up, I watched a little bit of it, and I was like, did he just say they're just going to have the contest and no people or vendors?
And then he said listen, we're fortunate because a lot of our neighbors the surrounding states, they canceled their fair.
Well, so are we.
But no, we're not. We're technically having it. What?
That's so stupid.
What? So stupid. Listen. Every Kentuckian looks forward to having a yardstick from the Kentucky State Fair. My administration will see it to it that every Kentuckian that wants a yardstick.
I just can't tell Jebediah he can't have his cow judged.
These farm animals look forward to being judged every year. These farm animals, they're friends of mine, and they're your neighbors, they're my neighbors.
Yeah, but getting little bikinis on all of the cows and then the spray tan.
I've always been against that.
So ridiculous. I've
always said that these farm animals should have a talent contest, but when it comes to the swimwear, that's too far.
It's inappropriate.
Too far.
It is.
It's 2018. Come on.
I mean, seriously. Okay. So, nobody can go to the state fair, but we're having the state fair.
Did you hear his? But then he addressed the bars. He said, listen, we can have people in bars. It just has to be 50%. Oh, and by the way, everyone must stay in their seats. There's no walking about in the bars.
Raise your hand.
Everyone must be in their seats.
Yeah, and if you have to go to the bathroom, raise your hand and say, may I?
The bartender's going to excuse people. Table number three, you may go to the restroom.
I think he's done a great job, but he's now wearing me out. I don't understand the randomness of what can be open and what can't.
I just wish if we could see data. Listen, here's where the data is showing us X, Y, Z. But he's just going, you know what, I was never popular in bars, so I'm going to shut down bars. I never once had fun in a bar, so I shut down. Swimming pools, people made fun of my mole and my physique. Swimming pools are bad. I was on the phone with coronavirus last night, and he said he's attacking every swimming pool.
Well, it wouldn't be just the mole if the mole wasn't also on a birthmark and it made it look like something else.
Plus, he's got that awkward hair that grows out of it, you know?
At least
trim the hair, you know?
Yeah.
It's like he works at Walgreens, yeah.
He gets it checked every year, and they're like, no, that's not a problem.
Yeah, at least he gets it looked at. So
that's
got
actually a skin tag. All right.
Skin tag. Oh.
You're in.
Local company Papa John's sales are up 28% in the second quarter.
Why could that be, Tony?
I'll let you know. A statement from Papa John's international CEO Rob Lynch says, title sponsorship of a local radio show, Afternoon Underdogs, have been a big part of the spike in our business.
Yep. Oh,
thank you, Tony and Dave.
That was
a press release from yesterday.
That's impressive, man.
Thank you.
Very impressive.
You are welcome, Mr. CEO Rob Lynch.
That's right.
Is John Schnatter still eating 35 pizzas a day from there? Because at one point he said, didn't he say something like that? He goes, listen, I'm no longer at the helm, but I will be eating 35 Papa John's pizzas per day. You will?
Hey, let's do birthdays. I got some birthdays. And we're going to start with Mr. David Duchovny. Yes, he was. What was that Showtime show? No, the Showtime show where it was a bunch of hot girls.
I know, it was hilarious.
Red Shoe Diaries.
Oh, no, not that one. I'm thinking of another one.
Now, he's famous for his sex addiction. That's one of his.
Yeah. X-Files, Californication are two of his things.
Californication is the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
With a K.
No, not Californication.
California is the movie. Californication's the Chili Peppers.
Yes.
Whoa, okay.
California is, you're exactly right.
Brad Pitt is in that.
The movie with Brad Pitt.
I'm not thinking of the movie. I'm thinking about the series. It was on Showtime.
Oh, maybe you're right. Yeah. How old is David Duchovny today, Dave Jennings?
He's aged pretty well. We saw that X-Files reboot, but he's got to be in his 60s, 63.
I'm going to say 60 even.
He is 60 even. Oh!
And it is. It's Californication.
Okay, that's the name of the show on Showtime?
It was on Showtime, and it's hilarious. Hilarious.
Charlize Theron.
My wife looks exactly like Charlize Theron, the beautiful actor when she played Monster.
She did play Monster. She was also in Prometheus, in Mighty Joe Young also.
Reindeer Games, which was a dumb movie.
Yeah, but Charlize Theron.
Charlize, she is 54.
I don't think she's that old yet. 49.
45.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Charlize Theron is just 45 today. Happy birthday. Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden.
The front man of Iron Maiden.
How old is Bruce Dickinson today, mister?
I am going to say the captain of Air Force One is 62. No. I'm going to say 61.
I think the Crypt Keeper is older than that.
No. Let's see. I'm 52. I'm going to say 62.
This is important to get
it's Dwight important.
Right.
Yeah, of course. It's Bruce Dickinson.
Yep. How old is he?
Scream for me.
66.
No.
David, Dwight's right. 62 years old today, Bruce Dickinson. You would have kicked yourself not to know that.
I think,
All right. How about Dustin Hoffman? Dustin Hoffman from Rain Man.
Ishtar.
Kramer and Wapner. Kramer.
Got to watch Wapner. Wapner 4. Wapner
how old
4.
Is Dustin Hoffman? His birthday is actually tomorrow, but how old is
Dustin
he
Hoffman.
Today?
He's 72. Got to be 72. 72 years old.
Little older than that. 75.
I think 72.
I'm trying to reboot it now. He's 84.
Oh, my
what?
Gosh.
Whoa.
84
years old.
I'm pretty sure. Hang on. Let me double check here.
Then he's probably doing the whole Wapner 4.
Right.
Yeah.
Hang on, I just pooped my pants. Hang on.
I was like Kramer.
I'm pretty
sure
it's 84.
Kramer pooped my pants.
Was he in Irreconcilable Differences also? No.
He's 83 years old.
Wow.
Man.
No kidding. All right, how about the guy from Hawaii? No. Hang on, that's the wrong guy.
Jack Lord?
Right, that's it.
That's it, Jack
that's
Lord?
The list.
Okay.
That's the list.
I will tell you that we're going to be having, speaking of birthdays, happy birthday to Jimmy Smith, my buddy over at Craig and Landreth Cars. I found out it's his birthday today. Plus, Mary. You hear me say goodnight, Mary, every time that we end the show, if you listen to the entire show. We say it every single day. We'll tell you the story behind that. Plus, we will introduce you to Mary on her 94th birthday this morning.
Wow.
Plus, this day in music and Ryan Burrow and a whole lot more, baby.
Back after this, News Radio 840 WHS.
Hey, Mama said the way you move.
Yep, you can check out the Crusade for Children. It's a different way this week, obviously, the last couple of weeks. It's been hard. Obviously, you can't give real money or coins because of COVID. So I will be on there along with Dave Jennings on Sunday for the Crusade for Children. So please listen and watch.
Still on the way, we're going to find out what happened on this day in music. We're going to check in with our good buddy in Chi-Town, of course, Ryan Burrow. Plus, I got a story about a former mayor in New York that died.
Huh?
What?
How did he die? A guacamole-making machine accident.
Oh.
Yeah.
No way.
Listen, man, why do you need a machine to make guacamole to begin with? You smash some avocados, throw in some cilantro, a little salt, maybe some lime, bam, there's guacamole. But he died during a guacamole machine.
That old story.
Experience. Yes. I wish I had a dollar for every time I've heard that story. How'd he die? Guacamole making accident. Oh, of course. I don't know why I even asked, of course. Oftentimes, I'll just walk up to the casket where the family is, and I'll just look at him and go, guacamole accident? And he'll go, yes.